Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
¿Cómo le responde usted a él?
I said I'm going to go to the border. And I,
when are you going to the border, Vice President?
The administration has asked... I'm not finished. I've said I'm going to the border. And also, if we are going to deal with the problems at the border, we have to deal with the problems that cause people to go to the border, to flee to the border. And that is the root causes. So my first trip as Vice President of the United States was to go, in terms of a foreign trip, to Guatemala.
Could she be less cranky about it? Is it possible? I mean, you were asked a question. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. Jeez, you have... Girl, if you didn't want the job, then don't take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just don't... Then don't do the job. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Hey, guess what? The same stuff that's going on at the border has been going on. Anybody want to talk about the same damn topic for 5,000 more days? Anybody? No? Bueller?
Not me.
No? Okay, good. Glad. Can we move on now? It'd be amazing. So, yeah, if she didn't want the job, then she shouldn't have taken it. Just all there is to it. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com, and a lot of stuff to wrap up the week with. I'm going to be taking some time off next week. I'm not going anywhere. We had some family issues and some people that got messed up in some car accidents. And so our vacation plans have kind of changed a little bitty bit. But I got to have some days off because I haven't left my house for anything other than business in almost 2 years now. Well, I mean, well, since the lockdown, it's been 15 months. It's right about 15 months at this point. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm taking some time. Blessed to work from home. But when you work from home, all you do is work. So I'm going to be taking some time off and also enjoying my kids while they're here. While my oldest is here anyway. So as we get moving on with this stuff, we'll get into some of the G7 summit, because they took an awkward picture. They always take these stupid pictures. I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the picture. They were spaced out apparently during this one. They've always been like that. So I don't know why. It's just like, just if you're going to freak out over something, freak out over something that matters. Freak out over something that counts. Because otherwise it's just dumb. Just freak out over something that matters. So the border situation, the last time I'm going to talk about the border, because the same stuff is happening. Either do something or STF you, honestly. Either do something or shut up. Either do something at the border or be quiet about it. I'm so sick and tired of congressmen going down there. Well, guess what? Look at all these people coming across the border. Republicans, too. Yeah, it's always been like that. Hey, guess what? It was like that when your party, GOP, had a majority in the White House. What'd y'all do? Oh, nothing. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. And then y'all balked when Trump was like, okay, well, let's build a wall. The Border Patrol says it's a force multiplier. And everyone's like, can you believe that Trump is talking about building a wall? You think that he came up with that idea by himself? He was talking to Border Patrol. By the way, the majority of Border Patrol, Southern Border, is they're Hispanic Border Patrol agents. They're Americans. They want everyone to come in orderly and legally as well. So stop. Stop acting like it's him that did all this. They go back and forth between he's a moron or he's Machiavelli. It's just like, pick one. But I am tired of seeing all these congressmen take these field trips down to the border. I'm so tired of it. Am I being harsh? It's so stupid. You guys have seen the same stuff that's been going on. You saw this happen under Obama, Biden. You know it's bad. Someone's like, I took up my third trip down at the border. Woo, good for you. You get another star in your book it chart. Literally, you remember the book it program?
I do.
It's like, we all know. It's a problem down there. What are you guys doing about it?
We all know the mainstream media likes to make people believe it's not a crisis, and Democrats want people to believe there's no crisis.
But there is, though.
There is.
Why? You know, did you see they're sending Samantha Power, down to Triangle Countries, El Salvador, Guatemala? This is their second attempt at this, folks. Their second attempt at this. They're sending her down there. Samantha Power, who I forgot what she was under Barack Obama. It's basically all the retreads. Oh, she was like the UN person, I think, under him. Anyway, she is the whatever administrator. I'm just not even going to pretend that I care what her position is. I really don't. She's some damn bureaucrat. I don't care. They did a Vogue thing on her, like back when. I don't know. You don't see Republican nominated women getting that same treatment. But she now she's the U.S. Agency for International Development. Why do we have this office? She goes down. She's going to El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras for about 5 days to help address the governance, economic, and security challenges, driving what she says Central Americans to migrate north. You know what's driving Central Americans to migrate north? You guys want to know what's driving Central Americans to migrate north? Anybody want to know? Maybe it's because Biden and Harris during the campaign were like, the border's open. Come on in. It's like the price is right. Come on down or up in this case. I mean, if north is up, come on down. And then there's the music that plays. It's because they were out there like actively. They were out there actively doing all of this and talking about all this. That's why. It's their policies. The lack of penalty for anybody. It's their policies. So this, she's going down, giving a speech on, she's gonna give a speech on democracy. Sorry, I'm just unimpressed entirely. Am I supposed to be wowed? She's giving a speech on democracy. Does she know what it is? No. Does she know? I tend to think that corruption is kind of the issue, right? Just try that. But this is their second attempt for it. Now, here's the thing where I'm going to get really, I mean, I'm cranky pants already today because it's just been, oh, by the way, I had a great event last night that this, which is really, it was a very nice event. The Turning Point USA Young Women's Leadership Summit. Very nice. Lots of pink everywhere. It's the only time I'll ever be around that much pink because they're cool people. Very nice. I had a wonderful time. It was a wonderful room full of wonderful, smart ladies. So it was a good. I saw Jeanine Pira. Saw her there, Bexy. Yeah, I've seen Judge Jeanine a few times. She's one of my favorite people. I like her a lot. I like her a lot because she'll cut you. That's why I like her. She's like one of those women that you're like, what scotch do you take? And she orders an Ely. That's what I like about her. Nice lady. Dress is very nice. I like. I mean, I'm not dressed too nice right now, but I'm just saying she dresses really nice. I like how she was in a white jacket. She looked great. And then Lara Trump was there also. I didn't get to see her. My husband did because she was coming in. It's like how you enter and exit the stage. She was coming on right after me. But great event, Turning Point USA. I really enjoyed it. And I hope everyone has a great weekend. So great event for young women. So had that last night. And then while I was actually, I think on the way down there, I was reading about now there's this new push because Biden announced at G7, we've got 500 million doses. He announced this at G7 yesterday. He talked more about it as well yesterday. He said that there's 500 some odd doses and we're going to start helping everyone, make sure that everybody in the world is vaccinated, something to that effect. And I was reading about this. Somebody else had this piece, these ridiculous pieces, where they were bestowing praise upon Herbert Hoover about the food supply for world famine. Why is it? Can I just interject? I don't care if it's an unpopular opinion. It's my opinion. Why are we paying for a pandemic that China unleashed on the world?
Thank you.
Because this is U.S. taxpayers. Oh, don't even start. I swear to you, I'll rip your hair out. Don't even start with me about it. You're just being selfish. You're talking about taking my money. You pay for it. If it's a discussion of selfishness, then why isn't China, the country that unleashed this pandemic on the world, paying for it? Are they too selfish to spend their money to correct a mistake that they made? I'm just asking for, I don't know, however many millions of taxpayers are in the United States. Why is it always I thought the left hated nation building and go. Remember when they actually were, you know, when the left used to be somewhat sensible? I'm just curious, with what money are we doing this with? asking, you know, we're going to talk more about this today. Can we also, I can't wait anymore. I'm going to tell you, I used to work at CNN. When I got started in television commentary, I worked at CNN and I was kind of like the token. Well, wasn't kind of, I was like the token conservative there. And the people that I worked with, they were really cool. Not everybody was. There were some there. John Avalon was nasty. He was a nasty person. He was so rude to me. He was so rude. He was rude to like every woman that I saw, but that's just, you know, my two cents. So, and James Carville had warned me off of him one time. He was like, oh, I don't trust people. He was always very nice. I like James Carville. He was great. And I remember there was at one point Barack Obama was giving it was an inauguration speech, actually, come to think of it. It was one of his inaugural addresses. And this was right after the Department of Defense said that they were going to get involved in green energy, right? The Department of Defense came out under Barack Obama and they said, we're going to make sure that we have like green whatever with our, I don't care, win wars, right? Just go accomplish objectives. Don't try to wow me with the greenness. You ain't getting paid for greenness. You're getting paid to kill things and break stuff. So just don't, I don't care. You're exempted. Stop. Use all the gas you want. God bless America. But they were making this big deal about, oh, we're going to have like green energy and it's going to be green energy and green whatever with their vehicles and I don't know. They had a whole list of stuff. And he was talking about this during the inaugural speech. And I'm like, OK, so if we're making Department of Defense about green energy, are we going to make if we're going to make that about green energy, then what are we going to? If certain agencies are going to have names that have actions that don't, they're going to be assigned tasks that don't have anything to do with their agency. And then he said that they were going to start doing Muslim outreach with NASA. Remember that? So he followed up and he's like, yeah, NASA, we're going to do a lot of Muslim outreach. And I'm thinking, what does this have to do with space? I'm like, are you going to now call? Like, instead, so if that's going to be about Muslim outreach, are you going to have a Department of Muslim Outreach and talk about sending things to space? Like, and I'm talking about how different departments have names that don't describe what the department's for. And that's when Media Matters went out and said, CNN's Dana Loesch, this is my desktop screensaver forever. CNN's Dana Loesch, colon. And they quoted me, even though I never said this, let's shoot Muslims into space. So I get a call from CNN, from the people who handle the contributors there. They're like, oh man, the VP, I think it was Standards and Practices, not too happy. But you're going to have to apologize for that tweet. And I'm like, you're going to have to come to St. Louis and make me. Because I'm not apologizing for nothing. So I refused to apologize because Media Matters ran a hit piece on me where they made up a quote and attributed it to me. And I was like, I think I was off the network for like a month. I was like, I'm not apologizing for something I didn't do, but your VP of Standards and Practices is more than welcome to call me and I will walk this elderly gentleman through the process of how Twitter works. I was immovable. And I'm like, I don't need you. So you can do whatever. I'm on air anyway. So I get in trouble for that. Jeffrey Toobin can jerk it on a Zoom call with female colleagues. And he gets welcomed back. Can we throw up the screenshot? I want you to first look at the wider screenshot. When you have Allison Camerota, who allowed guests to call me a murderer on her show. You have Allison Camerota, who's, I guess, you know, tasked with asking Toobin questions. And then you got this dude in the back who is all of America. Look at this. If you're watching the simulcast of this nationally syndicated radio program on the first, if you're watching the simulcast on the first, the gentleman in the back is America watching this train wreck happen. He's some dude who's in the back at the computer and he's just in the back of their shot and he has this look of incredulity on his face and he's looking at Allison Camerota and Jeffrey Toobin like, what? That's his expression. It's perfect. He is America right now. We got more on, you knew I was leading up to that. We got more on this. So lots of stuff to come still. You don't want to miss a single bit of it. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook. And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Senator Tom Cotton had cornered Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on critical race theory. This time, though, as in being included in under this umbrella of, I guess, what, diversity training, equity, inclusion, the DEI department. And very interesting back and forth conversation that they had. And Tom Cotton really, we're going to talk more about this later. Tom Cotton really zeroed in on him. Very interesting. Also, New Yorkers are watched by more than 15,000 surveillance cameras. This is creepy. And apparently the only assurance that people have that the technology isn't being used to invade their privacy is just the word of the politicians. Oh my gosh. Yeah, volunteers have been counting cameras all over New York. And they said what? There were 15,280 surveillance cameras at intersections across Manhattan, Brooklyn, and the Bronx. Good night. That's a lot. That is a lot. I'm not too big of a fan of those. Also, New York officials, they have bigger plans for their Excelsior vaccine passport. Now they've got a 3-year contract with IBM, and it looks like y'all and all taxpayers up there are paying a lot more money. It's kind of a failure. Their vax pass already. So they're going to get more taxpayer money to make it a bigger failure. Stay with us. Tubing it.
The border crisis is not only endangering our national security, but it is greatly empowering adversaries like communist China and Russia. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll also tell you about my interview with the president of Guatemala. And Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany joins me to discuss what he learned about the crisis from his recent visit to the dangerous Darien Gap in Panama. You don't want to miss it. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Legal analyst Jeffrey Tubin to talk about this and more. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Allison.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, indeed.
I feel like we should address what's happened in the months since we've seen you, since some of our viewers may not know what has happened. So I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Help yourself.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right. Sad to say.
Yeah. Man. Well, yes, The Stroke by Billy Squire is the perfect song to play as the music intro to this topic. You're welcome. Why are you dying? Because it's like the perfect song to play.
It's all cringe.
We've done this with Anthony Weiner before, too.
It's all cringe.
I just died 5,000 times having to. This is why, and welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Good to be with you. This is why I just hate the fact, damn you, Jeff Zucker, because I had to watch this as part of my job. I had to go back after this took place when I was on air, and I had to watch this. And I cannot even imagine this boardroom meeting where they're like, let's bring back the legal analyst who was caught jerking the gherkin while he's on a Zoom call with female colleagues. Let's bring him on and talk about how tough it's been for Jeff Toobin. You know, during a lockdown where people died, lots of people died. And let's talk about how tough it is for Jeff Toobin, who, by the way, is a colossal pervert. Pee-wee Herman gets blacklisted for being in a theater doing this. Jeff Toobin gets welcomed back at CNN after doing it on a Zoom call with female colleagues. I mean,
as chief legal analyst.
Yeah, he's the chief legal analyst. Someone was telling me, as a friend of mine, they were saying, well, you know, lots of people, but shut up. Shut up. Here's why I'm telling you to shut up. You do this when you're at work? Is this what you do at work? You're telling me the chief legal analyst is so desperate, he can't even wait to make sure that red light's off? Are you telling me this? This is not difficult technology, people. Did you read the story about the second grader who was able to skip school for like 3 weeks because he figured out how to fake out his teachers using Zoom? He's a second grader. This is like a 50-something-year-old man who's supposed to be this like legal scholar. He's on TV because he's supposedly smart. And she uses the Jay Leno line when Hugh Grant was caught with that hooker while he was engaged to someone like Liz Hurley, which is still mystifying, but whatever. It's amazing. They welcome this guy back. This was at his job. This was when he was working at his job and he's on a Zoom call. First off, I understand the concept of a TV mullet. Do you know what this is? I talk about this quite frequently. Sometimes when you see me on Fox and I look very business, I promise you I'm either wearing like Umbros or I'm wearing some like joggers or something, okay? And I may even have my slippers on. I've seen Sean Hannity in shorts before, wearing the jacket and all that stuff. It's a TV mullet. This is how people do, okay? It's how everybody does this. So I've seen, it's the TV mullet. It's business up top and total cash down below. It's how it is. Super casual. So it's not, it's not a big deal. The TV mullet always includes pants. You don't need to pray, Kane. The TV mullet always includes pants. Somehow, Jeffrey Toobin, someone stole his britches. I don't know who, but somebody did. On a Zoom call. Now, my favorite thing about this interview, which was awful and I hated all of it except for one part. And the one part that I didn't hate was the hero in the background. Now, if you're watching the simulcast of the program, then you'll see it because we'll have it up there for you. I've tweeted it out. I tweeted it out yesterday. There's a guy who is in the back of the shot. It's one of those like shots in studio and then they have the plexiglass behind and then they like to give the sense that here's our editorial room, hard at work. And there's some dude in the back on his computer and he's looking at the interview taking place before him like, what the? He is America. That gentleman in the background is America. That is America's expression right now. That's the best thing about the shot. You can't write that. That's hysterical. But what was the boardroom meeting like? So you got Zuck in there, Jeff Zucker, and you got the rest of them. And they're like, well, we're going to bring back Jeffrey Toobin. Oh, we are? We are? Okay. And let's get a woman to question him. I wonder, did she get to say no? I mean, now again, I have no reason to like this woman. She allowed guest after guest to refer to me as a murderer on her program. And then when I called her out for it, she indignantly invited me on and then tried to say that I lied, except there were so many receipts. Do you know why there were receipts? Because it was her show and she had these people on that did that. And there's a thing called YouTube that saves all the video of it. Now, even with this, I would not wish, well, maybe on some I would. I would not wish having to interview Jeffrey Toobin on my worst enemy. And can you imagine all everything that's going on right now? G7, China, the lab leak, everything else. And they spent 10 minutes on a guy who got in trouble for yanking the crank.
The erection.
They got...
Sorry, I had to.
All this other stuff, they spent 10 minutes on this. This is CNN. They spent 10 minutes on this. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you what. This is why people make fun of the media. Because of stuff like this. They make fun of them because of stuff like this. Oh man. I tell you what. I just still can't believe it. And then did you hear Anthony Weiner apparently is back on one of those anonymous messaging apps? Dude, just stop. It's the same one that he got caught last time messaging some chick right after his wife had a baby. And he's like sending shirtless selfies of himself sitting next to his baby. He's sitting next to his baby and he's sending this chick shirtless pictures of himself. Oh, man. You know, he's a butt-his face, right? You know that, Steve? That's a baby. That's a Gen X thing. Do you know what that means?
I have no idea.
Butterface. You know Butterface.
Oh, I know Butterface. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's
the male version.
Although I would say he does look scrawny to me. He's very vascular looking. But I just was looking at it. And I'm like, Butterface. That's what I was thinking. You know it's true. Oh man, he's got a face only a mother could love before she puts a pillow over it.
I've never wanted a commercial break worse than I do now.
I had to watch this for my job, so you're gonna bear with me on this. Oh my gosh, oh, you know, but you know it's true. And use the same damn name. You guys remember what he went as? Ah, Carlos Danger. It's like Carlos Danger sounds like Dora's methed out older cousin. It's her. Carlos Danger. He literally is back on the same app. It's called Confide. He's on the same app that he was on, and he had to register as a sex offender. And then he said that he's thinking about turning his, I can't even read you the messages because it sounds, it's so gross. It's like something Harvey Weinstein would text, thinking that he's being sexy. It's disgusting. It makes, like, I can just hear all of the ovaries like shrink from all the women in America. It's awful. So he served 15 months in prison because he's a sex pervert. What they call him, sex pest. That's my favorite headline. He's a perv and literally a sexual offender. And he was on this app Confide and his name was Carlos Danger. Oh, and now he's back on Confide using the name Carlos Danger.
What?
Well, when you think with one thing, you know,
the erection,
I can't, man. It's just, yeah, he rejoined it. This is some Daily Mail. It's an encrypted messaging app. And why would he, I don't know why he would do, just the dumbest man alive. Dumbest man alive. We have a lot more on the way, ladies and gents, including we're going to be talking to Congressman Mark Meadows, former White House chief of staff, former congressman from North Carolina. We're going to talk to Mark Meadows coming up. We also have Texas Governor Greg Abbott. We'll be talking with him. And when I say do something, I think he's doing something because he's like, I'll build the damn wall myself. Exactly. So we're going to talk to him about this as well coming up. And we'll get into, I can't believe it, but there are legitimately people in the media trying to rehab the Soviets. I'm not kidding you, like on CNN, MSNBC. I'm going to explain this coming up, so you don't want to miss it. We got a lot in store. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
We did not find evidence that a potential presidential visit to the park or the St. John's Church influenced the park police's decision-making or their deployment.
Oh, goodness. That was the Interior Department IG who was like, you remember all that stuff that y'all were saying? It's some BS. Y'all was wrong. So I'm just the messenger. I'm just relaying that information. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Yeah, very, they lied to people for a long time. We talked about this yesterday. They're still kind of avoiding it. Have you noticed that there's like no corrections that have been issued? They're still lying to you too, by the way. I mean, they lie to you and they're still lying to you. We have a supercut. Supercut. It's like super not really, except supercut with media. Listen to this. Listen to some of this.
Now you might wonder why were they ordered to move on protesters at that moment? Obviously, the president wanted a photo op.
I mean, for a photo op?
To make way for a White House photo op.
Lafayette Square photo op. To clear out these protesters from Lafayette Park so the president could have this photo op.
The president wanted peaceful protesters, the kind he said he just supports. He wanted them out of the way for his photo op.
And it was President Trump sending a message that he feels good about today, looking at these images. He wanted to show that he could move Americans physically out of the way to do this photo op.
And his administration's violent clearing of a peaceful protest for a photo op.
Clear them out with gas and go in there with batons. They do so for the simple reason that the president wants to walk across Pennsylvania Avenue through Lafayette Park to go have a photo op.
Even if it meant tear gassing peaceful protesters, hitting them with flashbangs, pepper spray, and rubber bullets, somebody handed the president that Bible, and then he stood there, and that was it. That was the photo op.
The force was used, as I said, the day before to clear the president's way to St. John's Church for that photo op.
There is 100% zero correlation between our operation and the president's visit to the church.
Yeah, except when it's not. When it's not, when the IG comes out and says, hey, guess what? He didn't. All the media saying this stuff. They're still lying to you, though. That's the thing. Not a single one of these people who were talking about this, not a single one of them were there in D.C. Now, remember, these were the same people who didn't want to report the fact that those rioters had legit set fire to that church the night before. They set fire to a church.
Peaceful protesters.
Peaceful protesters. Just a little fire. You know, it's a little fire. It's okay. It's just a little bit of fire. Set fire to a church. Church that didn't hurt nobody. I'm fine with peaceful protest. I myself have engaged in peaceful protest. I can't even count.
Did you ever set fire to anything?
No, I've organized them before. And I've even, done it where, I mean, we've marched in the streets before. Never would I ever endorse violence or property destruction as a protected form of speech. And if I saw anybody doing it that supposedly was going to stand with me, oh, hell no. You don't sit here and you don't carry out injustice as a way to accomplish justice. How is committing injustice, raising awareness for injustice, except to make it show everybody that you're the one committing it? I never understood that. That's the whole reason he went over there in the first place. And everyone was angrier that someone handed Trump a Bible, and before he looked at it, he held it up, and it was upside down. They were angrier at him over that than they were people burning down a church. Yep. Unbelievable. It's like, good heavens. Yeah, there. But the press is still, they're still lying. They weren't there. They saw it on TV. But I'm telling you, but it's just, it's sad. No, they're still, even with, they were still lying to you with the lockdown. They were still lying to you when it had to do with therapeutics. They were still, I mean, a lot. We're going to talk about a lot of, well, we're going to talk about a lot more of this coming up. Because here's the thing. How many, you know, in the town that I live in, there were two high school girls that had to move, change schools, because they were on TikTok singing along to a song and it had the N-word in it and they said it. And they said a slur, they apologized, but then they were run out of town. The president's son says this slur and others regularly in his casual language, and the media, not a single peep. Yeah, there were report, there were media people writing about these high school girls. Nothing, though, on this 50-year-old child, 50-something-year-old child. Stay with us. More of the show in store. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone, and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months, plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Who ended the Holocaust? I mean, what country?
The Soviet Union, actually.
Okay, but...
I mean, the Soviet Union did that.
What? Okay, now, there's some historical context here that we're going to apply. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. It's Friday. We like Friday. Hey. All good things. It's good to be with you guys. Get through the week together. We'll link arms and skip into the sunset of Saturday. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. And coming up, we're going to speak with a former congressman and Trump advisor, chief of staff, actually, for former President Trump, Mark Meadows. And later on, we have the Texas governor, Greg Abbott. But first up, this dude. This Ryan Grimm guy. Now, but I know there's like some historical context here. First and foremost, if you're going to sit here and attempt to credit ahead of, and this is some propaganda stuff if ever there was, because this is all very, you know, conveniently ahead of Joe Biden's June 16th meeting in Geneva with Vladimir Putin. If you're going to attempt to try to give the Soviets the credit of ending World War II or ending the Holocaust, then you also must, in turn, give them the credit of helping to start it. Inconvenient history. Yeah. It's the sub show today because it's true. I mean, I mean, he's wrong. Ryan Grimm is wrong with a capital W. But Russia did liberate some concentration camps. I mean, that's not incorrect. And people who were fighting against literal Nazis deserve credit. I mean, that's true. I mean, there were some Russian soldiers that fought very valiantly. But they also, and I have a couple of friends actually that have written extensively on this. They're just, you know, for, you know, historical purposes. They also really, they would not have been able to do this without the finance, the equipment, and the weapons, and the food, and the ammo, and the everything else that was either paid for or made by the United States. And in fact, it was that US-UK alliance. It's something that, you know, you kind of have to think of. Let's go back in history really quickly. For instance, Soviet trucks, right? You had this US-UK alliance. They were able to actually, they actually had to get a lot of trucks that were either financed or made by or provided by in some part from that US-UK alliance. In fact, over here at the embassy has a site, and it talks about the U.S. Lend-Lease to the Soviet Union, 1941 to 1945. Even before the United States entered World War II in December of 1941, America sent arms and equipment to the Soviets to help it defeat the Nazi invasion. At that time, it was a little over $11 billion of resources that were sent. In today's currency, that'd be $180 billion. And the Lend-Lease Act of the United States, because it took an act of Congress to get involved and make sure that we could give all of this stuff to the Soviets. They were fighting the Nazis. And yes, like I said, there were some Russians that did liberate concentration camps. Absolutely. But it was the 400,000 Jeeps and trucks, the 14,000 airplanes, the 8,000 tractors, the 13,000 tanks, the 1.5 million blankets, the 15 million pairs of army boots, the 107,000 tons of cotton, 2.7 million tons of gas products, and 4.5 million tons of food that were lent to the Soviet Union from the United States that made it possible. Because that's capitalism. Interesting how that works, isn't it? That statism wasn't able to get the job done by itself. It had to have the help of a free society that practiced a purer form of capitalism than we have now. Interesting, isn't it? Now, they also tried to... I mean, there's a lot of history there. Here's a lot of context. But the idea that it was the Soviets that ended the Holocaust, so they're the real heroes, is one of the most asinine, historically illiterate things that I've ever heard. And that it occurred, what channel was this on? Is it MSNBC or CNN?
Does it matter?
Well, it was one of the two. This guy sat there and was like saying this stuff, and the anchor was like, I don't know. I've never read a history book. What? But we're your intellectual betters. Now, yes, we did. Every single person that was fighting the Nazis was crucial. Everyone. It doesn't make anyone else's fight less heroic. It doesn't make anybody else's fight less valiant. But you do diminish it by insisting, trying to do a flex and saying, oh, well, it was just the Soviets that did it, guys, ahead of this meeting between Biden and Putin. But like I said, there were Russian soldiers that fought valiantly. But don't diminish by acting as though they were not aided by free societies. And you also can't talk about credit with also talking about the camps that Russians themselves operated even before the war and after the war. Let's be honest about all of this. I mean, Eastern Europe, Eastern Europe was carved up even before the Nazis began trying to expand Hitler's reign, Hitler's kingdom. And then the Soviets themselves also participated in some pretty bad stuff. It was just bizarre to watch this. It was Hill TV. It was bizarre to watch this. I mean, the U.S. just picked up the glory. You know, it was the Soviets that won it. Good night. Seriously. It's just I think that there is a massive historical illiteracy, just like there's civic illiteracy, and we have definitely economic illiteracy, which is one of the worst things ever. But good heavens. But I think that you have to be accurate with all of this. And don't forget, didn't Russia sign? Let me look this up. I thought they signed a treaty of neutrality with Japan. Did they not? I think they did. I'm typing right now. This is live on air. You know, whatever. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they did. Soviet-Japanese Neutrality Pact. The Japanese-Soviet non-aggression. Because if not mistaken, they weren't going to. They would fight against each other's allies, but not against each other. But later on, they did join up. Later on, they joined the Allied campaign against Japan. But there in the beginning, they were outsies. Nope. Interesting. So let's just not. I'm not going to sit here and have this rehabilitation of the Soviets. It's like, oh my gosh, these people were. This is, look at this, because this is all so specifically timed ahead of this meeting with Vladimir Putin and Joe Biden. Just not. This is just one of the dumbest things ever. I mean, it is, and thankfully, I think that this dude's getting ratioed. Thank heavens. But, I mean, isn't he the Intercept DC's bureau chief? Now, the Intercept, this is a publication that was found by the intellectually curious Glenn Greenwald. So, and then when he left, it's just sad to see what they've devolved into. But there's a lack of knowledge about this. There's a huge lack of knowledge about really a lot of things, historically that have happened. But specifically, I think there's been a lot of history rewriting. And this was all centered around the Ilhan Omar comment on U.S., Israel, Hamas and Taliban. Which was also incredibly and insane. Just awful. I mean, please don't forget that Russians threw Jewish people into gulags also. Okay. Status love camps. They love them. They murdered people and threw Jewish people in gulags. So let's not ignore their state-sponsored anti-Semitism either. Let's not ignore that. And then, of course, there's a really interesting... Let me pull this up. I have one more thing for you. One of the Tablet Mag also noted that, and this is true as well, the Soviets, when you talk about enabling of the Holocaust, they switched sides only after Nazis were going to invade them. I mean, they murdered Jewish people. Soviets did, because they were Jewish. And when they liberated Auschwitz, they forced Jewish and non-Jewish prisoners to reenact it because they forgot their cameras and they wanted to capture images for propaganda purposes. And there are photos that exist of this. So that's some revisionism. Absolute revisionism. In fact, my friend Gabriella Hoffman, her family, she goes, maybe ask those of us with Jewish family members how Stalin and his successors treated our relatives. It wasn't pretty. Yeah, ask the Jewish people in Poland if they're how happy they are about the Soviets ending the Holocaust. I mean, just what historical revisionism. And this dude is a senior writer or senior editor at a publication. Now, this was all centered around this idiotic comment that was from Ilhan Omar. And the way by that's being treated also, the way that the media is handling this was insane. Listen to this really quickly. I want to play Audio Soundbite 19. We're going to talk more of this, but listen to this.
Simple. There's one question.
I know you opposed the court's investigation in both Palestine and in Afghanistan. I haven't seen any evidence in either cases that domestic courts can and will prosecute alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity. And I would emphasize that in Israel and Palestine, this includes crimes committed by both the Israeli security forces and Hamas. In Afghanistan, it includes crimes committed by the Afghan national government and the Taliban. So in both of these cases, if domestic courts can't or won't pursue justice, and we oppose the ICC, where do we think the victims of these supposed crimes can go for justice? In both of these cases, is if domestic courts can't or won't pursue justice and we oppose the ICC, where do we think victims are supposed to go for justice?
Good night. Good night. So there is a massive brawl right now on the left because a number of Democrats have come out slamming her. But this is an unusual speech for her, though. She said crazy stuff. She said this kind of stuff since from day one. So what's changing? We're going to talk about that coming up. We also have Mark Meadows. He's going to be joining us. A lot in store. It's a busy Friday.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So a concerning headline as it relates to, and again, I'm always just, I like to have conversations about this stuff, and I just think that there's a lot, this shows there's a lot more information that we need and a lot of questions that need to be answered. So NBC, this is NBC, they're reporting a higher than usual number of cases of heart inflammation has been reported following coronavirus vaccination. CDC says that 226 cases have occurred in people younger than age 30. They're looking at, and these people have been hospitalized, they're looking at these cases. They said that it involves young men after their second dose of an mRNA vaccine. This is what the CDC said late yesterday afternoon. They said 226 cases of myocarditis or pericarditis after vaccination in people younger than 30 have been confirmed. This is the deputy director of the CDC's Immunization Safety Office. They did a presentation to the Food and Drug Administration Advisory Group. Further investigation is needed because they want to confirm whether or not it is a result of the vaccination, if it is related somehow to the vaccination or unrelated. So they're looking at all of this. But they said that teenagers and people in their early 20s accounted for more than half of the myocarditis cases reported to the CDC safety monitoring systems following the COVID vaccination. And so they said, and this is according to the CDC themselves, quote, we clearly have an imbalance. So that's a headline I wanted you to be aware of. We're going to talk more about that coming up. But we're a little short here. I apologize for that. But we do have Mark Meadows, former White House chief of staff and former congressman from North Carolina, coming up next. Stay with us.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
One of the things that Biden administration officials have been underscoring when I talk to them is when you look at American democracy, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, they still had this feeling of America being a leader and of America valuing our European allies. And that was lost for a large part when it comes to President Trump, who was just openly hostile and was so mean in some ways to our European allies. That being said, there's still big questions about whether or not President Biden, just in being here, can do that. Deep scars are really something that takes, I've been told by experts, years.
So this is an interview with Yamiche Alcindor. This is PBS, correct? Yep. My taxpayer dollars? Yeah. Or NPR, whatever? I don't know. One of the government-funded media entities. My taxes pay her. I just would expect someone from one of my, something better from my employees. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Joining us now, I got to get his response to this. Everyone knows former Congressman Mark Meadows. He was the White House chief of staff for President Trump. It's good to see you, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us, sir, Congressman. And I have to get your reaction to this. I mean, it's really the state media reporter who's saying that, you know, under Trump, he was so mean to our allies, which, you know, just to kind of preface it, I always sort of thought that it was kind of us that we were sort of being mistreated because not everyone was fulfilling their NATO obligations.
Well, you're exactly right. It's great to be with you. And please call me Mark. I can tell you in the biggest part of this, you know, when you hear this kind of commentary, that's what the leftist media is all about. They say, well, gosh, you know, we need to have this peaceful coexistence with our European allies. And I can tell you, it was President Donald Trump who said you're not paying your fair share. You cannot rely on the American taxpayer. I just talked to him this week about this very subject. He says, you know, it's amazing how they were never asked to actually pony up and pay their fair share until President Trump came to the Oval. And to say that there's so many scars, I can tell you what President Trump had. He had the respect of every world leader. And candidly, when it was America first, I was with him. We traveled abroad. We were there together. And I can tell you that each and every time they understood that his first priority was the American people. But guess what? Their first priority were the people that they represented. It's what it should be. But yet at the same time, somehow we have this America last policy with Joe Biden over there making once again an apology tour. And I think the American people have had enough. I know you and I have.
Yes, definitely. We have had enough. We're talking with Mark Meadows, who was the chief of staff under President Trump. I know that Biden's going to be meeting with Putin on June 16th. And I'm wondering if he's just going to have if he's just going there to have Putin thank him in person for helping to empower them and really undermining NATO by undercutting Ukraine and then helping to destabilize the relationship with Germany, because ultimately that's what this is about, what Yamiche Alcindor was talking about here. It was Angela Merkel who did not want to meet the expectations of a NATO member country and expected that the United States taxpayer was going to pay the cost of Germany's defense, which that shouldn't be expected by anyone. And Trump was the only one that actually squared up to her and then squared up to Putin, which I think really shocked Moscow. I feel like, Mark, that they are anticipating a very easygoing time with Biden when they meet on the 16th.
Well, sadly, I think that's what they'll get. You know, we've already seen the interaction between the Biden administration and the Chinese. I can tell you, I was in the Oval Office when President Trump had conversations with some of the very leaders that you're talking about. And to say that it was a firm conversation would be an understatement. He said, you know, let's take Germany, for example. They have this unbelievable economy, and yet they're not contributing what they've obligated themselves to. It was not like we were actually raising the ante. It was just saying, just do what you said you would do. And when he pointed it out, you know, it was like all of the leftist, diplomatic, foggy bottom career bureaucrats, oh, they went crazy. How dare you ask a foreign country to actually fulfill their obligation? And yet the president was very consistent with that. And you're right. You see it. Maybe it's just going over to say thank you. You killed the Keystone Pipeline, Joe Biden, and yet you gave Russia a pass on their pipeline to Germany. It's a sad commentary.
Yeah. And while they also talk about environmentalism, which I would just think to have that nice, you know, clean gas from the United States as opposed to dirty Russian gas, and not just because they're communists, but because, I mean, they have zero, about as many environmental protections as China does, I understand. So for all of the discussion about in the name of the environment, that also seems to be fake.
Well, it is. Listen, Joe Biden, even by his own Democrat colleagues, have time and time again suggested that Joe Biden is not the best negotiator and diplomatic advocate for Americans' interests. And we're seeing that already as we go over, you know, just some of the very brief comments in preparation for this trip. Was very troubling to so many. And yeah, they want to say it's going to be this kumbaya tour. But I can tell you, who will ultimately pay the price? The American taxpayer. And I it's not the government's money. It's your money, my money, everybody that pays in. And Washington, D.C. needs to understand that. And when they start just saying, well, we're going to forgive this or we're going to give you some additional money, it's not the government's money. It's ours.
Exactly. Speaking of that, we're talking with Mark Meadows, former congressman from North Carolina, also chief of staff for President Trump. You mentioned the tax money, the U.S. taxpayer. A couple of very interesting things happened in the span of the last couple of weeks, as you know. First off, you have Joe Biden asking for $6 trillion of new spending. And it was very interesting. I think it was the American Families Plan. That was one of the two something trillion dollar plans in which they discussed. He laid out his plans to beef up the IRS because they knew that their new taxes, that wasn't alone going to meet the revenue demand. So they're going to have to shape people down some other way. So they're going to get very aggressive in using the IRS to go after people. And I told folks, if you thought that the IRS was bad under the Tea Party, you ain't seen nothing yet. While this happens, then you have this story from ProPublica that came out this week, and it lists the private tax information of wealthy individuals, people like Elon Musk and even Jeff Bezos. And people can have whatever opinions they want to of Bezos and, you know, everybody else. But the way I understand it is that that's a felony to leak that information. They didn't certainly get it from anybody's accountant. That had to be from the IRS. ProPublica runs it, not as a story about how the government is trying to sway public opinion by leaking government, you know, private information, but they run it as a way to shame people. Very convenient timing, right when Joe Biden used a bunch of Marxist language to talk about the upcoming tax hikes that are going to get, that are going to hit America. Your thoughts on this? And do you think that there's going to be any effort to, I know that so far some investigations have been called for, and I think one was started to figure out what happened here. But what is your thought on this?
Well, listen, when you look at leaking taxpayer information, this is not the first time it's happened. It happened to President Trump. Mm-hmm. What we also know is I happened to be sitting at, when I was a member of Congress, when Lois Lerner came in and raised her right hand. And what I can tell you is that it's a consistent theme that the Democrats want to use the power of the federal government to not only, and you, it was your words, it's a shakedown of sorts, and it's also a shaming. And when we see that, isn't it ironic? They want to defund the police, but they want to fund a whole lot of IRS agents to come in and police your financial contributions and your tax deductions. I mean, how can you put the two of those together and have it come out of the same person's mouth? I'm very troubled by it. This is really about weaponizing some of the bureaucrats that are there. And when you look at taxes, Joe Biden wants to say, well, we're going to only tax the rich. I can tell you that when you look at his budget, it's going to tax everybody. We will see everything going up. And even with his $6 trillion plan, we're already seeing the inflationary effects. Oh, yeah. And who does it affect? It doesn't affect the wealthy. They can go to the supermarket and buy whatever they want. It affects those that are having a hard time living paycheck to paycheck.
And we've seen that with the cost of goods, the cost of lumber. There are jokes about, I keep seeing all different photos. Everybody I know posts something on social media where they're like, oh, went to Home Depot, got a couple of boards here, cost me about $1,000.
Yeah. It's incredible.
600% increase, I think, in the price of lumber. And now we're seeing housing stall, the construction of new homes as a result of this. So this is all, as you said, it's all related to what's already passed, what's already been implemented under this administration, and people anticipating what's to come. You have spoken out quite a bit, looking domestically, kind of domestically, because it involves China, about Dr. Anthony Fauci, who really got to love that podium and love the microphone and I loved the press conferences that President Trump had. And I remember, it's like one of those situations when you're real, when one hot summer day, you're super hot and you're cursing the heat. And then when you're in, you know, it's below zero winter and you're freezing to death, you're like, why did I ever complain about the heat? I remember one point saying it's another press conference, another coronavirus press conference. Now, I wish that I never would have ever been tired of them because there was so much transparency. People were bored with it. People were bored with officials coming out and answering every question. Well, now we have some really serious questions. There's no coronavirus task force. We have a border czar that won't even talk about the border. We don't get any questions about the lab leak theory, how much taxpayer dollars were involved. Is there something else that we also funded that Fauci's aware of? And then we have all of these, like today NBC reported about the issue of heart inflammation, a suspicion of it as it relates to the vaccine for young men under the age of 30. A lot of questions, and Fauci seems to only be talking about how you can't attack him or disagree with him because he's science, and yet no one answers any of this. You think he should be fired? And what do you think about this? We need to have another task force presser.
Yeah, listen. When we talk about transparency, you and I both know that we had briefing after briefing after briefing, and yet many on the left would say, "Oh well, you know, the president's not telling the truth." What we're finding is that it was Dr. Fauci that had a loose association with the truth, not only based on the emails, but you know, if he enjoyed the truth as much as he had enjoyed the limelight, we would have been in a much better place. And yet what we do see each and every day is that it is time for accountability. And whether it's on the border or whether it is literally looking at these emails and the investigation into the root causes of what where COVID-19 came from, it was an inconsistent message that continued to come out from Dr. Fauci. And yet they seem to be coming to his defense. I can tell you that they're circling the wagons as they circle back to get you answers. I mean, it's just one of those things, Dana, that we have got to make sure that when we talk about science, you know, Dr. Fauci says, well, they're attacking science. You're right. We are attacking political science. It's the political science, not the real science, that we're actually going after. It's his political views that continue to come out and continue to this day to not be transparent.
Yeah, absolutely. Transparency. And when there isn't transparency, that's when people start kind of filling in those blanks for themselves. And you have this issue of accusations of misinformation, etc. Mark Meadows, it was a real pleasure having you. We'd love to have you on again. We'd love to talk to you anytime. Very good to see you. And thank you for all you do.
It's good to see you. Great to be with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec.
There's one question, only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food. Chicken!
Spinach, Sherry.
Got me spinach!
Okay, well, to be fair, you know, I mean, Popeyes does have some good chicken, but I think they were saying what do you eat at Popeyes? Is what does Popeye eat? That was like a Family Feud. Yeah. It was a Family Feud. Man, I would rock that. But my problem would be, welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. My problem would be, though, playing Family Feud. I know somebody would have a dumb answer, and I would have to be like, no, no, no. I needed to be taken. I would be all the family, because I'd have to be taken. Unless it was about football, then I'm out. But, oh, my gosh. That and Price is Right. Price is Right, though, is the thing. To be on that shiny floor and to spin the wheel. My grandma used to watch Price is Right. And then I swear to you, there at least once a show, I'd go and stay with her every summer. And at least once during the show, she'd be like, oh, I can't believe they're charging that much for that. Can you believe it costs that? Oh, I can't believe that. You believe that? That's supposed to be a low price. I'm like, oh, my gosh. God bless America. I love it. All right. You know what time it is. Just go ahead. Hit me. Hit me.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I really want to share this one, but at the same time, I don't want to. So, I'm going to start with this guy who found a 7-foot gator inside the post office. Can you imagine? I'm here for the mail. Spring Hill Post Office in Hernando County. They said that, I love how this article starts at Local 10. They say neither rain nor snow nor gloom of night will stop the U.S. Postal Service, but an alligator could. True. Somebody stopped by the post office about 3:30 a.m. Wednesday morning of this week, they said, to drop off a package, saw the 7-foot gator roaming around the lobby. It has an automatic double door that allows for off-hours entry. So this gator... I did not know, by the way, that Florida literally has an alligator hotline for stuff like this. That is how many gators are in Florida. They have an alligator hotline. I'm not kidding you. When I was at the airport, when we came into Tampa, I had not been into Florida more than, you know, 5 minutes, and I already saw a gator. I saw a gator in the waterway when I was taking that little thing over to where the baggage claim is. All right. So this, okay. A Florida man in Naples says he called 911 to complain about the number of nuggets that were in his chicken McDonald's order. And he said that they had gotten his order wrong twice. And he apparently called 911 three times. So police showed up to arrest him because you can't abuse the 911 operating system, right? If you call and you're a nuisance, that's actually a charge and they can arrest you. So that's what they did. But then he told on himself because as they were loading him in the car, he said, and this is literally according to the affidavit, the police report, and the cocaine, he said, as he was being loaded into the back of a Collier County Sheriff's Patrol car. He said that, I can't read this sentence. He said he had cocaine. He goes, quote, I have cocaine in my butt. That's what he said. That was a direct quote from the police report, I swear to you. Stay with us.
Do you think, given that the punishment fits the crime?
You know, I am the worst person to ask that question. I mean, I know. I mean, obviously, I loved The New Yorker. I loved working there. I felt like I was a very good contributor to that magazine for a very long time. And I thought this punishment was excessive. But look, that's why they don't ask the criminal to be the judge in his own case.
Well, there's probably some other things that were excessive, too. It's so gross. Not going to ever stop making fun of this. That was Jeffrey Toobin, who was fired. Well, not fired. He was welcomed back basically short of a ticker tape parade to CNN after he was caught what we refer to as Toobin it on Zoom. He actually did that. Chief legal analyst there, everybody. Oh, and this after, by the way, he also knocked up his best friend's girl, or his best friend's daughter, and then denied that it was his kid and told her to have an abortion. And then she threatened to go public. And then and only then did he actually own up to the responsibility and take care of his kid. So I feel pretty okay in making fun of him a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Go and sign up for the newsletter chapter and verse. And I'm getting my workflow nailed down with all of this stuff that's been happening. So I appreciate your patience the last week and a half with me as we've been doing that. And I have some things coming at you tonight. And then I'm going to be out next week because I'm just taking some time. We always go on vacation about this time with our family, but we had some family issues. We have, I had a couple of people in our family, one that's not feeling well and one that actually had a pretty bad car accident. And so kind of altered our plans a bit. So we're, and then when we were trying to like remake some plans, it got a little crazier because everybody also has the same idea. Everybody wants to get out. So, we're just going to take a few days next week to just kind of have a breather. And then when I rejoin you on the 21st, we are going to be welcoming a bunch of new stations to our affiliate family. So thanks to the folks at Radio America for being cool and our staff here for holding it down. Even when I made a lot of jokes about, I have more songs that we could, I was thinking about this because I thought it's going to be a few days before I can really make Kane uncomfortable. And you know, there are more songs besides Billy Squire's The Stroke. There are a lot of other songs that I could have come in with on that. You have the Divinals. You know, there's that songs.
Pretty appropriate, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except that almost seems like it is a fun thing for other people to have to deal with him, and it's not. So that's why I was a little hesitant about, because someone asked me, why didn't you use that song instead? And I'm like, why do you hate Billy Squire? Why? Also, just to direct your attention, our associate producer told me that he has what he thinks is a fire tweet, and he is sad that it did not have a lot of likes. So I retweeted it, even though he has Jake Tapper Stan in his bio and nothing about the show. So it's okay.
You want to give him my social security number, too, while you're at it?
No, it's all right. It's all right. I helped you out anyway. Look at me helping you out. You got 81 likes now. You got a lot of, you're getting some likes. Someone else also affirmed that it was a fire tweet. And what Steve did, for those of you who are listening to the show and not watching it or on social media, and you're like, what? He tweeted, you know that weird image of all of them? They're all in Cornwall right now, which I've always wanted to go to Cornwall, by the way. It looks beautiful there. And it's like really apparently very nice and cool. Nice breeze comes through all the time. I'm really appreciating that right now because it's about to get 11 frillion degrees. Basically, hell will be cooler than Texas coming up. And so they have all of the world leaders at the G7. They're all standing together on the beach on this little weird platform. And this is always when we're super judgy and we judge people as to how they look, how they're standing, etc. And so they're all there spaced apart on the beach. And Steve compared it to the rose ceremony on The Bachelor.
Favorite show.
Mm-hmm. It's he's the only dude I know who's like, did you watch Bachelor? He like immediately pops in on air. Yo, did you watch The Bachelor? So he keeps us up to date about all this stuff. So the G7 ongoing, I just read a stupid piece. I wasted a minute of my life reading this stupid piece. I'm not going to bore you to death, but can you or anybody enlighten me? Why are people making such a big deal about the Boris bike? Boris Johnson was given a bicycle by Joe Biden, and he went running on the beach this morning, and apparently, I think it's Trudeau or Macron, one of those two dudes. They're the same dude. They came out of the Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton factory. One of them, they were running along the beach. They went running with Boris Johnson, I guess. And the Politico was like, where's the bike? They're mad, apparently, because he didn't ride the bike in the sand. I'm so confused.
That's our what? Media. What? That's our media.
I'm just curious. Yeah, I'm just really...
You know what? If Trump gave him a bike and he was on the beach and not riding it, they would have been like, look, he doesn't like Trump's gift at all. Look at that.
Yeah.
Trump's gift was horrible, blah, blah, blah. But look at how biased our media is on this stuff.
That's a great question. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know. I'm not quite sure about this. All right. So a few things. We're going to be talking with Governor Greg Abbott here in a little bit. And speaking of walls, I have to share this one with you. Yeah, Patrice Colores, I guess. I'm trying to realize where the stress on the syllable is. She is, she quit the BLM group, and she's building a giant fence, some might call it a wall, around her, one of her $1 million homes. You know that?
No.
So two things. The left is in a civil war because of Ilhan Omar. Her insane comments, and by insane, I mean insane. And this, because what she, we played her audio, it's actually really long audio. She was asking a question of Blinken, and she had tweeted out too, quote, we must have the same level of accountability and justice for all victims of crimes against humanity. This is her tweet from the other day. She said, we've seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and Taliban. I asked where people are supposed to get, blah, 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 blah. So she gets the attention. She's thirsty for attention. She got it. And what gets me is she's always said this kind of stuff. So why are Democrats mad now? Have you seen some of the tweets that she had previously where she would play up these tropes and she like engaged in blood libel and all this other stuff? These are tweets that she had. So why now are Democrats mad at her? Remember when Nancy Pelosi, they refused to censure her for her previous tweets? So here's the thing. Now there's a dozen Democrats in the White House that have come forward and they're demanding that she quote unquote clarify a post that what I just read to you, that tweet that she had just, and she shared that video of herself, the video soundbite that we played earlier. And they said, we urge her to clarify her words. And for placing the U.S. and Israel in the same category as Hamas and the Taliban. And this was Jake, Austin Kloss, Ted Deutsch, who hates me and once sat next to my husband and called me a B word in Parkland. And he didn't know he was sitting next to my husband. Fun fact. Lois Frankel, Josh Gottheimer, Elaine Luria, Kathy Manning, Gerald Nadler, Dean Phillips, Kim Schreier, Brad Sherman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I mean, Nadler's, he's a ranking member. He's the ranking member for one of the chairs for the judiciary, House Judiciary. Schultz ran the DNC. She was former chair of the DNC. Now, I think that Pelosi's name would have been on it had they not had some other high ranking Democrats to put her name on it. They're trying to give a little bit of that plausible, you know, deny, but whatever. They're trying to give her some space. But that was the whole thing. Remember in 2019 when she had tweeted this insane stuff and Nancy Pelosi, that all the House could do was come up with a resolution that didn't actually censure Ilhan Omar. It didn't censure her at all. It just said, we don't like anti-Semitism. That's all they are. Bigotry. It's all they said. They didn't want to deal with her. But now this has changed. And man, bang a gong, because she and Rashida Tlaib are inferring that everyone who's criticizing Ilhan Omar is Islamophobic and sexist.
Yeah, of course.
And This is getting nasty. It is. They're crazy.
It's completely egregious. And I also have audio from Elaine Luria, representative.
Let me read you the spokesperson's statement. Ilhan Omar's spokesperson, Jeremy Slevin. Listen to this. Quote, "And now some of her own Democratic colleagues are ginning up the same Islamophobic hate against her, accusing her of giving cover to terrorist groups simply for exercising oversight over a criminal investigation." No, dude. She compared Israel and the United States to Hamas and the Taliban. We're not buying into this stupid, feeble deflection of, you can't criticize her for what she says because that's Islamophobic. Well, you can't disagree with me for criticizing her because that's sexist. Ooh. Can't. Sorry. Not how you can't do it. Not how it works. Nancy Pelosi's going to have to get involved. It's getting that bad. And then Rashida Tlaib came out and said, it's sexist. Now women can't have a voice in the White House. It's sexist. It is a slap fight. Absolute slap fight. Mm-mm-mm. It was fascinating to hear this. So we're going to watch that. That's going to be quite interesting. And then, also, did you hear the story of Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson? He was banned on YouTube. The Federalist reports that YouTube banned him because he discussed early treatment of coronavirus. The position that YouTube takes is that everything on their site has to come from a certain set of authorities that apparently shifts quite a bit. So they corporately censored a sitting U.S. senator because he was simply talking about by the way, he sits on Governmental Affairs Committee and Homeland Security Committee, and he was discussing the early treatment of coronavirus. And the YouTube censors, which are sometimes they're super active, like even in the chat that we have for YouTube, Lorraine, who is our moderator, she's like, will tell me sometimes like, oh my gosh, they're moderators. They were like making it to where we couldn't even put links in. And I've heard that when I mentioned that before, I heard from a lot of people, like it's one of the ways that their moderation works. But they've shut down any kind of discussion, for instance, of hydroxychloroquine. There was a Washington Examiner piece yesterday that highlighted how, it's okay to admit that and acknowledge that hydroxychloroquine works. Well, I know it does. One of my very good friends, her mother-in-law, contracted coronavirus. And she had fluid in her lungs. She went in the hospital. And I shared a portion with permission of her record on Instagram. Because she went into the hospital. She had fluid filling up in her lungs. She went into the hospital, I believe it was on a Monday. They scanned her. They gave her hydroxychloroquine, the cocktail thing. And then they did another scan, and they said her lungs were virtually clear of all liquid. And then the next day, she went home. And she has like she checks like every box of it getting bad. So we have headlines on the way, and then Texas Governor Greg Abbott is going to build his own wall. Come and take it.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So the Senate has moved to require congressional approval for any new Iran deal. The bill, which is spearheaded by Senator Ron Johnson, who was just suspended on YouTube for talking about coronavirus treatment, is a last-ditch effort to stop Biden from awarding Iran with billions of dollars in sanctions relief by skirting Congress. This over at the Washington Free Beacon. Also, the FDA's ordered Johnson & Johnson to throw out 60 million coronavirus vaccine doses that are worth about $600 million. at a troubled Baltimore plant that had several violations. It's a major blow to countries that face shortages of shots. Also, it's a major blow to taxpayers that paid for anything. Good heavens. They said that the loss of doses means that the United States is even more unlikely to reach Biden's goal of 70% of adults partially vaccinated by the 4th of July. So, yeah, the FDA had said they got to be thrown away because of possible potential contamination. So, my gosh, not good. Not good at all. Also, a judge says in one of the sentencing of a man who torched a Minneapolis police station with a Molotov cocktail. Well, the judge said that Bryce Michael Williams, who pled guilty, that he was ordered to pay $12 million in restitution for damage. And he was sentenced to 2 years, 3 months for his crime. But the judge said he was a good person who made a terrible mistake. Like what? Like he hit the wrong building?
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Porque hay mensajes confundidas del Estados Unidos. La ley cambia mucho y cambió mucho adentro de una administración hasta el otro.
Bueno, yo...
Guatemalan president.
Se lo hice ver que mensajes humanitarios
messages that
fueron utilizados aquí
have
por
been
los
distributed
de una manera
in Guatemala. This is something that we've heard previously.
Porque dijeron allá,
that they said Biden's messages that were used here by the coyotes that came and took the kids, that were taking the children across the border. He's like, yeah, this is stuff they were using the administration's own campaigning, their electioneering, the phrases that they said about the border and about how they shouldn't turn anyone away. They used that as a way to advertise. Just one of the latest bits, and I told you they were sending Samantha Power down there earlier. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Joining us now, Texas Governor from the great Republic of Texas, Greg Abbott. Good to see you, sir. Thank you for joining us. Before I let you go and get started with all these questions, I was noticing the weather in Texas. It's going to be hotter than Hades. I mean, almost, I think, literally, not an exaggeration next weekend. And I was thinking, I wonder if the grid's going to be okay with this. And I saw that you had just signed a law to reform ERCOT, E-R-C-O-T, which is the company that handles all that, to weatherize and improve that grid. Tell us about that, because that's a nightmare if our AC goes out.
Don't worry about your AC. Dana, as you now know, we have hot weather in the summertime every year in Texas. But importantly for you and your listeners, especially those in Texas, to know, we completely reformed the power grid system in the state of Texas to fix all the flaws and so much more. I'll quickly run through what we did. We instilled accountability in the two agencies that run the grid. One is ERCOT and the other is the Public Utilities Commission. We also put in there the ability for them to impose fines and penalties on entities that do not comply with their standards. The standards are set out in the weatherization. It's not winterization, because although what we did was to make the power grid more resilient in the winter, but all we call it weatherization because we want to make sure that it's resilient in the summer also. And then also we have grid integrity. Let me explain what that means. This is going to make you shake your head, Danny, when you hear what happened. What really caused the winter storm was really quite simple. It was operator error combined with a lack of grid integrity. What I mean by that is when the winter storm happened and they needed to shut down power to certain areas, there were certain areas that were exempt from being shut down. A downtown, a hospital, a police station are exempt from being shut down. All the power generators in the state, as well as transmission lines in the state, they were not exempt from the shutdown. Hence, they were shut down and they froze. And thus, it turned a one-day event into a four-day event. All that has to be done to fix that is to check off a two-page form and submit it to ERCOT. That has been done. And then there's increased capacity. So as you know, Texas is growing very rapidly. So many people moving here, businesses, individuals, et cetera. We're gonna have more need for power, and we have greater power capacity as you and I are speaking today than Texas has ever had. And so I can give you more details, but the bottom line is this: everything that needed to be fixed to ensure the power grid would remain operational has been fixed for both summer and winter.
That's incredibly good to hear. I'm happy to hear that. And I love a good dry heat. That's what they always told us when we moved down here about 8.5 years ago. They said, oh, it's a dry heat. The humidity is so high today. Dry heat. It's almost like being in New Orleans, that dry heat. And I love that how easy – I love being able to hold these people accountable as well and making sure this stuff can get solved. Because I remember just in the days after the great freeze, as we all like to say, and that was something funny. My friends and I were always discussing, you know, if we ever have to move, make sure that you're in that grid. Make sure that you're behind a hospital or a police station so that way you can always be included. Because, Governor, as you know, a lot of the criticism that we saw from the left particularly had to do with, well, Texas decided to go it alone. They didn't want to be a part of federal regulation on the grid or on gas lines or on anything else. But that's not the case, because you're still always going to have human error and things, no matter if it's with federal or state.
For one, and the human error component was fixed, as well as adding additional accountability so there will not be human error in the future. But then one thing I didn't mention, which is important to emphasize, we restructured it in a way that will ensure that Texas will remain independent from the United States in our power grid. We will continue to have our own power grid, which will have more abundant power than any other power grid in America.
Excellent news. Excellent news. We're talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Governor, you also, I'm going to pull this up because You said you're going to build a wall. You're going to build a barrier along the state's border with Mexico. And that you said this, so I have to let you know, my husband and I, we always have our family dinners with our kids, and we always have very lively discussions, as you can imagine. And one of the things that my husband had said is that, well, why doesn't the governor just go down and say, okay, well, this is where you're going to build the wall, the federal wall. The governor could go down and say, here, about 5 inches away or 5 feet away or however, This is our wall right here. And just kind of you're doing that. Tell us a little bit about that. I know that from what I've read so far, there are not a lot of details out about it. But you said that, first off, you're going to start arresting people who try to breach the barrier. But you're going to build your own. Texas is going to have its own barrier.
So it's a multi-step process, Dana. One is the wall, and it will be next week when I make the formal announcement about what we will be doing about building the wall. In addition to the wall, there is going to be an initial barrier. I was on the border last night itself in Del Rio, where we were talking to landowners, hundreds of landowners, and I asked all of them, how many of you have property that goes all the way up to the borderline? Hundreds raised their hand. I said, how many of you would allow the state of Texas to come in and put up an immediate barrier right there on the border itself? Hands went up across the board. We're going to begin the process of that initial border barrier right there on the border itself. Some of this land also is owned by the state of Texas, where we have the immediate right to put this immediate border barrier up. Then in addition to that will be the wall component, which will be very similar to the approach that President Trump took. And we will be announcing more details about that component next week. However, I do want to emphasize the other thing that we were talking to locals about last night in Del Rio. We had about 100 sheriffs and law enforcement officials there, all of the border sheriffs, as well as some further inland, where we were working with them to collaborate on this arrest program, because we want to start putting people in jail who come across the border. When they come across the border, they're going to be trespassing in the state of Texas. That area right now is subject to a disaster declaration. When it's subject to a disaster declaration, that elevates the level of a penalty. If otherwise, a trespass would be a Class C misdemeanor. It's now either a Class B or Class A misdemeanor. We can put these people in jail for coming across the border, coming into the state of Texas. What we want to do is the converse or the opposite of what the Biden administration is doing. They're rolling out the red carpet, saying that the border is open and anybody can come here and roam around, do whatever they want to once they get here. We're saying no more about that. You come across the border in the state of Texas, you're going to jail. And we're now going to have both the laws in place, the manpower in place, the jails involved. Because listen, this is going to involve a lot more jails, jail cells and jail beds than would have been occupied in the past. And so we have to get the jail commission involved, working with locals as well as with state officials to make sure we can create more beds. But it also is going to require the state legislature stepping up. You may know that we may be having a special session sometime soon where we're going to be able to address these needs and make sure that we do secure the border, we do build a border wall, but also we accomplish some other things also.
What makes this, we're talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, what makes this different from under the Obama-Biden administration when governors were trying to do this previously, just enforce their own, you know, these border states, enforce border laws themselves, and whenever they attempted something like this, the administration would entangle them in lawsuits. I watched Arizona go through this, and I know it was threatened, Texas was threatened with a similar suit. Do you anticipate something like this with the Biden administration, and does that emergency declaration change it?
The declaration doesn't change the legal risk. I'll tell you this, Dana. You know I'm the former attorney general in Texas. So as you might imagine, I've gone through the legal analysis. I know all about the lawsuit of Arizona versus the United States, where the Supreme Court ruled against Jan Brewer in the state of Arizona and what they tried to do there. What we're trying to do is different. What we're trying to do, I will tell you, we'll be working on state land. We'll be working on private property land. We're going to be working on land that will not be the federal government. Ah. The federal government cannot tell Texas or Texans what to do with their land. And Amen. So they will have Amen. No right to step in to do what we are seeking to do. So we have a way to do this. Where, sure, I think they will file a lawsuit. They will try to stop us in any way they can. But I think that we will be able to overcome that lawsuit, prevail in that lawsuit, and continue in our goal. And that is to do what the federal government should be doing, which is securing the border. Texas is having to step up. Then I do have to add this, because even though we are stepping up, people need to understand that Texas has already stepped up more than any other state ever has. This legislature in the Capitol, they just passed a budget adding more than $1 billion for border security for just the next 2 years in the state of Texas. That will add more boots on the ground, more drones and helicopters in the air, more boats on the water. We will be doing more than ever before to be able to arrest people, to secure the border. But we need to take this next step and build the border barriers that are needed to keep people out of Texas. Last thing, Dan, I got to tell you, and talking to the men and women on the border, they're being truly invaded by people who are coming into their property, who are ransacking their property, opening their fences, cutting their gates, destroying their property, causing them to lose livestock, lose wild game, things like that, and have guns shoved into their faces. America and Texans, they need to understand the serious challenges that people on the border are having and the necessity of Texas stepping up and helping them out.
Yep, that Mexican, I just actually had a headline about this earlier, the Mexican cartel violence spilling over. One last quick question for you, Texas Governor Greg Abbott. You mentioned that special session. Are you going into the special session confident that we're going to see, because I know we got constitutional carry, which was one of my big things. I'm super excited about that. And I'm so happy. Now I don't have to feel jealous of Oklahoma. Nobody wants to do that. God bless Oklahomans. But I know several of these conservative issues. I know the transgender protection for girls' sports. There are a couple of other conservative issues that voters are very concerned about. Where do you stand on optimism that the Texas legislature, Republican majority, will get that done for voters?
Listen, I do feel good about it. I'm not going to foreshadow right now the items that I'll be putting on the special session. I know you'd love to be able to break the news right now. I'm going to hold that in my holster. I do want to make sure that you know, because I get this every day. I want you and your listeners to know that, yes, I am going to sign the constitutional carry bill. It is going to be this next week. We'll have a big ceremony for it. And we will obviously make sure that Texans will be at the very front as it concerns their constitutional right to keep and bear arms. But that said, we will be taking up other conservative agenda items when we do call legislators back for a special session.
Well, but we'll be watching and waiting to see what happens. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Thank
the
you,
time.
Dana.
Take care.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
Mr. President, what's your message to Putin?
I'll tell you when I deliver it.
I'll tell you when I deliver it. Yeah, that is the president who is meeting with, on the 16th, he's going to be meeting with Vladimir Putin and saying, "Oh my goodness, I'll let you know what my message to him is after I deliver it." So after somebody writes it, I'm curious. I don't know. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. I will be out next week taking some time and Then, of course, we're going to have a ton of stuff to come back and do after I return with you. But we'll have a newsletter out tonight, all kinds of stuff. So make sure you go sign up at danalash.com and get that newsletter, chapter and verse. All good things. So I was reading this piece about some of the taxation that was being proposed. Let me pull this up here. It said new G7 tax proposal. That's one of the things, the G7, the group of seven nations, the United States and six other wealthy countries announced that they had reached an agreement via Helen Raleigh at the Federalist to impose a minimum global corporate tax rate on multinational companies, and they would amend long-held international tax principles and rules. Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, said it's going to end the global race to the bottom on taxation. But actually, no, it's a really, really, we're a sovereign nation. We don't need to be making different, we need to decide what's going to be best for our own interests, ultimately, because there's two components to this. And Helen says that the new tax rule, because currently taxes pay over profits earned to nations where they have an actual physical, like brick and mortar presence. And G7 says that countries have the right to tax 20% of profits above a margin of 10% where those products or services are consumed. So if you have like a shoe company located in Canada, but they sold service to people in Germany, then the Canadian company made a profit of $15 representing, you know, like 15% margin. They're going to have to pay tax on that to the country in which, you know, if they're located in Canada, they're going to have to pay they're going to have to pay tax on that profit to that only. But the new G7 agreement would change it to where it's a 20% tax on the profit above a margin of 10%. This is why? What is the purpose of this? This is not out of fairness or justice. It's a service tax. And then the European demands on this. There was a little bit of a spat over the digital tax. And even Wall Street Journal said that Biden acquiesced to European demands and that the tax be tailored so narrowly it would apply primarily to U.S. digital companies and not large European manufacturers. Yeah, he's over there really standing up against, you know, for American interests and against any kind of autocracy. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. Well, as you know, the media just loves to rewrite history. And another example of that is from The Hill's TV channel. Somehow they are trying to throw love at Russia. Not sure why.
Who ended the Holocaust? I mean, what country?
The Soviet Union, actually.
Okay, but
I mean, the Soviet Union did that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, see, well, don't forget that they were culpable in assisting with it. And yes, you had some Soviet soldiers that fought valiantly, but let's not forget that they also imprisoned Jewish people. Because ask Polish Jewish people how they liberated.
Ask Poland how they feel about
that. Yeah, ask Poland how they feel. Good heavens. Folks, that does it for us this Friday. I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll be back with you in about 5 days. And then we'll rejoin on the 21st, and also with us a bunch of new affiliate families. So we're very excited about that. God bless, DanaLash.com. I will be back with you on the 21st.